On three.
On three. One, two.
Synthaholics, it's the Rad Tribal Podcast.
Trench coats, guns, and all. With me is Aaron O'Brien and Holly Michelle Vine.
Correction, dishwasher, and spork.
God damn it.
What weren't you watching?
Don't use our plebe names.
Yeah, no.
Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, Dishwashing Soap. With me is dishwasher and spork.
There you go. Yeah, so we are back. We are reloaded.
We're reloaded. My clip is empty. Now it's full of cum.
I was going to say, I know I'm drinking. Anybody else getting loaded?
Yes.
I preloaded.
That's what the
I'm the
special
Matrix
feature,
preloaded.
The preloaded is actually the title of the behind the scenes on the reloaded DVD.
That's funny.
I do have an amendment from last week. Philip, a longtime listener, and he's been on a couple of our episodes of Star Trek Discovery. Go give those a listen if you haven't. He reached out to me and said the guy working on Cyberpunk 20, the original person who worked on Cyberpunk 2020, is actually helping CD Projekt Red with Cyberpunk 2027. So I was not aware of that. So thank you for that update.
That is good.
Don't want to be like Midnight's Edge and Doomcock for purposely giving up misinformation. I like to make things as factual as I can.
You Doomcock.
Doomcock.
We also got news, guys, that there is going to be a some more Star Trek shorts coming out.
Short Treks.
I like them.
And we are going to get Spock in number one. So we've got Ethan Peck coming back as Spock, and we got Rebecca Romijn to come back. And
I hope it has something to do with Pon Farr. That'd be great.
And so we get those two coming back. We don't really know much more about it than that, but that's it.
That's exciting.
I cool. like it.
It's good to hear.
Yeah, I'd like to hear about that too. Man.
Yeah. So obviously they're going to bring them out for some reason. Maybe it's just kind of amending the story, or maybe they're going to do more for the Enterprise.
I mean, they do have that set, so might as well freaking use it.
Yeah, absolutely. Might as well
use it. And apparently, we mentioned there was some news like last week on a fourth Matrix, and it seems like there's a new article that came out that kind of said that's all hearsay. It's all just someone saying something. There's no firm actual details that we can tell so far. Just people spreading, you know, rumors and not facts quite that maybe Michael B. Jordan could be attached to it in one of the Wachowskis.
And, you know, those rumors started in, like, what, 2017? So that was when Michael B. Jordan was, like, really hot from Creed. And so everybody was saying, Michael B. Jordan could be this, and he could be this, and he could be that. So, I mean, that's awesome, because I actually really do love him as an actor, but it could just be.
Yeah, I mean, it could all be hearsay. I've also read things that Keanu Reeves says he would be interested in continuing on with The Matrix if the Wachowskis are involved.
I would love that.
Right now, there's no solid actual news on whether or not there is going to be a fourth Matrix. Right now, as far as I can tell, it's all hearsay.
Well, you know, I was watching some of the special features on Reloaded, as I mentioned, and they designed the video game and the three films to be a whole story. So I don't know.
That's a bunch of lies.
That's what it said that they built this up as a whole story, and the video game and the animatrix were supposed to fall. Well, actually, they didn't say about the video game when it was supposed to fall, but the animatrix was supposed to be like between the movies. Well, yeah, they said the animatrix was supposed to be between 1 and 2.
And then there was the Matrix MMO, which came out, and that's the only thing
that
takes place. Yeah, it was a video game for the computer. It was an MMO, and it took place after the Matrix trilogy was over.
They filmed that all. So they were filming the video game parts when they were filming 2 and 3.
Yeah, they did. And they also, like, cheaped out. Like, they didn't use all the special effects of the video game they were using on the movie, so they kind of cheaped out on some of those video games. Unfortunately, because they could have done some really neat stuff, and they just didn't. I played the Enter the Matrix video game. I was so excited for it, and I was ultimately fairly disappointed with it, from what I recall.
Movie video games rarely live up to.
But the thing is, it was like it was supposed to augment the story. It wasn't like playing through the story of the game. So it was his own thing, sort of, and it was still disappointing. So that was kind of like, eh. They could have done better, I think.
You could have done better.
Could have, should have, would have.
And I wanted to mention that I have realized that I have not seen 2 or 3. So if you have anything you want to say about the third, please just keep it to yourself until next week, because apparently I've not seen that one.
Well, see, the thing is, what I did, you know, this is all off screen stuff that you guys don't know because you're not in our group chat. But I am planning on trying to present myself this week as if I've never seen the third one. And I want to theorize, based on what's in this movie, as if I have not seen the third one, and I'm excited to see it. So I'm going to try my best to put myself in the 2001 or 2002 mindset of seeing this movie for the first time. That's what I'm going to try my best to do. I might let some snark out because all the things I want to happen I know don't. But I'm going to pretend like they haven't happened yet. And I'm going to hope to God that they will.
Okay, sounds good.
In utter vanity. Yeah, that's my thought. Yes, it is utterly vain.
All right. Should we get started with Reloaded?
Yes.
So this is obviously the sequel to Matrix, the original movie. This came out in the U.S. on May 15th, 2003. It had a budget, it said it spanned between $127 to $150 million. I don't know why there's a difference in that, but the box office brought in $742 million.
So they did to make their money back and stuff.
They did very well. And we basically have everybody from the original movie. I mean, maybe not everybody. Obviously, some people died.
They killed Switch, so she couldn't come back.
Right.
Cypher couldn't come back either.
Strangely enough,
Keanu Reeves comes back for some reason. That didn't make any sense at all.
Strangely enough, the singer-actress Aaliyah, she died, and she was playing the part of Z, which is Link's wife.
Oh.
Didn't she die in an airplane that had too much luggage on it?
Yes, it was too much luggage.
Well,
the princesses match luggage.
Hey, you don't be dissing.
Yeah, so so Aaliyah, she died in that plane crash in 2001, and they had to go back and reshoot her scenes with Nola Gay, or Nana Gay. So,
wow.
So not a visitor? They didn't recast her as the Kira Nerys?
No, they didn't do that. But, so yeah, I mean, that's a strange little tidbit.
Cool fact. I mean, also
not cool. Alicia Keys died.
Not Alicia Keys.
It's Aaliyah. Never mind.
Aaliyah. Oh yeah, Queen of the Damned. She died.
Yes. Yeah, actually, yeah, so I was going to say, they must have done filming right after she did filming for Queen of the Damned, because she died very soon after Queen of the Damned came out.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right about after that, she died, so.
Are you sure she's not related to the Lees?
To the Lees?
Like, Brandon Lee, he died on the set of The Crow.
Oh.
No.
She didn't die on a set of anything.
No. Just, oh, wow. Speaking of on the set of The Crow, I think Tony Todd was there.
Hmm.
like when Brandon Lee said it was really sad because he said his the guy's wife was there.
Brandon really?
Yeah. That's awful. Hmm.
Wow,
that's
crazy.
It's one of the things that came up during the panel, and I forgot to mention it again. But yeah, I was like, wow, that's crazy.
That is crazy. Well, let's get into this crazy movie. So the movie starts off, we get the green code coming down, and it makes shape of a punch clock with hitting the stroke of midnight.
And for some reason, Trinity isn't talking about murdering Neo this time. I was really disappointed by that. I was hoping that clock dead would come back from the first movie.
But she launches her motorcycle off a parking ramp. Yes, and she... she ditches the motorcycle on top of the guard shack, which kills the guard, or destroys the guard shack.
So Keanu Reeves has this hunk of metal at his bike shop?
Trinity lands perfectly, and then she takes off her helmet and starts beating the hell out of the rest of the guards that were basically leaving their shift for the night.
Right. I beat you with this helmet.
Yeah, she beats them all with her helmets, which is kind of the opposite of safety, which helmet is supposed to be. So.
Well, I wouldn't say opposite. I would say the irony in it.
yes, exactly.
Well, her head is just fine. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's doing its intended function.
And then we get in the whole scene where Trinity is blowing through this building, and she's shooting, and agents are after her, and then she's jumping through a window, and she's falling, and she's firing at the agents, and the agents are firing back, and finally one of the bullets pierce her chest and
gets her right through the ribs into her heart.
And then Neo wakes up and he looks over at Trinity laying next to her, and he's like, oh no,
her boobs are still there, thank god.
Trinity's dead. Oh no, she's just sleeping. Oh, so
hint one that there's a matrix within a matrix.
Possibly. Then we see the Nebuchadnezzar, and it's flying outside.
It's grazing in the fields because he thinks he's a donkey.
No, that's biblical.
That's a real Nebuchadnezzar. God damn it.
And then we have the introduction of Link, and then Morpheus is there as well.
What happened to Tank?
I love Link. Ever since I saw that actor as Mercutio in the Romeo and Juliet, I've just loved him. Every time I see him in a movie, I get excited.
You know what? I saw Romeo and Juliet, and I don't remember him in there. Honestly, Holly, it's been a very long time since I've seen that Romeo and Juliet.
I feel like he is the memorable character in the whole film. Because he's really? Because he's like the narrator. He's like... he goes out. I mean, obviously, you know, Mercutio dies, but he's like, when they go to the party, he's dressed in drag. Like, he's just this great character in that film. So I don't know how you missed him.
If I saw it again, I probably remember.
Probably.
It's been probably 20 years since I've seen it. So, it's been a while.
It's been a long time.
I forgive you.
It has.
I do not forgive you for singing that.
Yes.
The Star Trek references.
So Trinity wakes up and he's like, "You still can't sleep, huh? What's the problem?" He's like, "Nothing. Nothing. I only saw prophecy of your death in my head. That's okay.
He's upset about the papyrus font in Avatar.
Don't understand why they used that choice. They could have used so many different fonts.
Could have used anything else. I know what you did.
Anyways, they jump back into the Matrix at this point, and then we're in this underground lair, and there's Nairobi, which is Jada Pinkett Smith. And she's talking to a bunch of other ships, crews that are similar to the Nebuchadnezzar.
Like, hey, do you think we should make our son famous, and even though he can't act?
He's like, totally, man. You could clean up.
Yeah, he makes so much money.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Sometimes when you guys do that and you go off and you do your thing, I'm always like, wait, that didn't happen. And then I'm like, oh, right. It's Dave and Aaron. Okay.
Well, you know... Yeah, I mean, you think about it. It's like, those are pretty big shoes to fill, you know. I mean, Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith. And
apparently acting isn't genetic.
I mean, No. I don't want to insult the Smith family. So I'm just not going to say anything. You know, if you don't have anything nice to say.
If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all.
I was really excited for After Earth, though.
Yeah, anyways.
It just does. Yeah.
Anyways, back to the dark underground room with Niobe. Morpheus comes in and they kind of just he starts talking about the prophecy of Neo, and he wants to consult the Oracle. But, you know, you can tell the rest of the ship's crew are kind of like, oh, Jesus, give it a rest, Morpheus, you know.
It's Morpheus again.
You're in the prophecy, Neo Salon.
It's like Dane Cook. Fucking Brian's coming.
Brian's coming.
Fucking Morpheus is here. Talking about Morpheus. His prophecy.
Talking about his prophecy. Always talking about the prophecy. Up at a little...
Cut him down and put a Bible on him.
That's right. So up there's a knock on the door in one of the I don't know what you call them, the rebel crew goons answer the door.
The goons is a good description.
And it's Agent Smith is there. And
I'd like to speak to Mr. Anders.
He's like, I don't know who that is. And then he says, give this to him if you see him. And he takes an envelope. And he closes the door, and then Neo walks up, and he's like, who was that? And
it was a little eye slit door thing. Little slidey eyes. He didn't, like, open the door. He, like, opened the peak slidey hole.
Yeah. Just the peak. Just the eye hole or whatever.
The glory hole. Yeah,
not the glory. Just looking at dicks. Wrong place.
Agent Smith. Oh,
Agent Smith. Whoa. You're
Is that a Prince Albert you've got? Oh, that's interesting.
That's how Neo knew who it was.
Yeah, the penis. The Prince Albert. That's how he knew.
That's Agent Smith's Wang. All right.
I recognize that Prince Albert anyway.
Oh, God. So he hands him the envelope, and it is his
earpiece. What do you want?
Yeah, his earpiece when he was an agent. So.
Secret agent, man.
Smith. So, and then all of a sudden the door starts getting hammered on, and Neo's like, uh-oh, you better get out of here.
Upgrades.
I'll take care of this. Yeah, and then we had the agents break through, and they are upgrades, and we have Neo fighting agents once again.
Woot woot.
He does it very lazily. It's like, nah, they're still easy even with the upgrades.
I know, it's like him just, like, cutting through butter. He's like,
my cum could cut through these guys. What are you talking about?
Oh, Jesus.
I do love the fight scenes in this film.
They are much better than the first one.
Yes,
well,
but
you gotta remember the first one, it was mostly one-on-one, and this one, it's like, multi-enemies
multiple.
At once.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing about this movie, it's mostly fight scenes.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of it, yeah. So then we get Neo after that. He decides he just takes off into the clouds and flies around. And
he's doing a Superman thing.
He's doing a Superman thing. He goes to the Oracle's apartment where he first met her, and nobody's there. It's all dark. So so then we get the Nebuchadnezzar, and it is it approaches Zion, and it enters the codes, and they let them into Zion. And this is the first time we get to see Zion. Zion's like a giant
city underground.
Sewage dump.
It's so neat the way they built it.
I was so disappointed by this, because they were hyping up Zion as this really cool place. And then you see them in the white rooms with, like, the really cool things. Like, oh, Zion's going to look awesome. And then you see it's like a giant dump. I'm like, oh.
It doesn't look like a giant dump.
It's
dumpy.
A mixture of organic and well, I mean, metal's organic as well, but it's earth, it's structure, it's man-made. I thought it was beautiful. It was a good mix of many things, and I thought it was great.
I don't mind it.
It's more steampunky than futuristic, though.
It is
steampunky.
Well,
that's steampunk.
Because,
you take what you have, and you make it work.
But this should be cyberpunk.
So that just means machines are added to the steampunkiness. Instead of steam, it's...
Sure, yeah. But it just seemed like more like mechanical and dirty than cyberpunk usually. Cyberpunk's dirty, but it's dirty in a different way.
Yeah, but you gotta understand, they don't want to have the cyberpunk aspect of it. They want to keep the machines out. Yes, we have mechanical machines, but we don't have, like, you know, intelligent cyborgs machines.
And, nice technology.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all like going back to 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I got my steam-powered Kerr!
That's right. So they get back to the, they land in Zion, and immediately as they open the door, there's a bunch of soldiers are there. Yeah, and they're like, you're going to come with me, you're going to meet...
Morpheus.
Morpheus, you got to come with it.
Locke wants to see you. Was that his name, Locke?
Yeah, Locke, yes.
Locke or cop or something.
Penis him!
So he goes off with them, and then we get to with this kid who comes up. He's like, hey, Neo.
Can I suck your dick?
Any so cool stuff happen? You, you're so cool. Love you.
Yeah, so he's, and you can tell that Neo's kind of like, oh, this kid. So that's the thing is what Neo has to realize now that he's now hero worship.
Essentially
is,
the Messiah.
Yeah, and it's not really what he signed up for.
Mm.
He's like, oh, I got to deal with all this. Then back with Locke and Morpheus, there's a whole argument, or I don't even want you to call it, but basically Locke's the guy in charge of all the ships, and he's like, why did you stay longer? And, you know, Morpheus is like, because I had to talk to the Oracle. We had to find her. And obviously Locke doesn't give a shit about that, so...
And I'm banging your all girl he now. Cares about, it's good.
All Locke cares about is having all of the ships at Zion to protect from the oncoming invasion from the machines. And Morpheus is like, look, the prophecy man.
We gotta defeat the Matrix from the inside.
It will be as it is. You're like, okay.
Yeah, and that's what the next thing we find out is that... the robots are approaching. They're drilling down from above into Zion.
They're tunneling.
And they're tunneling down, and they're going to basically wipe out all of Zion. So they want to gather all their forces and for this big fight. At the same time, we have the counselor, Harmon, and he comes in, and he kind of diffuses it, the whole thing between Locke and Morpheus, and...
Seems
I don't know.
Like
kind
he
of
really respected Morpheus, and so it kind of
put Locke.
I wouldn't say in his place because I don't know that he's in his place or not. But
yeah, just ease off, you know. You know,
settle down, little boys.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the man around the place. Respect my gray hairs, bitches.
Yeah, well, you know, the cool thing about this, the counselor Harmon is. He doesn't totally believe in the prophecy, but he doesn't discredit either. He's like,
right.
I don't know, but you know, there's probably something there. So,
I found it interesting that Morpheus was like, just this fanatic and like no one else really gives a shit about what he thinks.
Well, you gotta figure too, Morpheus saw stuff that none of them have seen.
True.
You know, and they saw, he's seen Neo in action. He's seen what he can do. So it's not like. It's different for him.
Yeah. And you gotta remember, when somebody fully believes something, regardless of the evidence in front of them, they will continue to believe that.
Yes.
And as Aaron mentioned, like, there's evidence in front of him, so that just reinforces his belief.
Right. So from there, we get to the elevator scene, and we can tell that... Trinity and Neo.
Neo go up to their room and they don't make it.
But there's about 100,000 other people that just need Neo's attention.
It's like, just, electronic Jesus, bless my son, bless these blankets.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh shit, all right. And Trinity's like, they need you too. I'll be in my room waiting. I'll be in my bunk. Right, exactly. So, from there...
I'll be using my Neo dildo.
Link comes home, and cousins are there. Or not cousins,
nieces. And Zoe from the Fireflies.
Yes! I was so excited.
Yes, and she's there, but Link's girlfriend, Z, is not very happy.
Not excited.
Could you imagine... Could you imagine you're out on a ship and then she's like, what do you do on that Nebuchadnezzar or that Morpheus all the time? You're gone all the time.
No.
As I swing both ways, baby. Spouse. There's a lot of men on that ship. It's like a jail cell. You just gotta let it out sometimes.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes
no.
Morpheus takes me from behind.
No.
When I least expect it. I was wondering why the buttholes were empty on the seats.
Oh, God.
They cut the buttholes out of the seats. Yeah.
It's like a donut. You're sitting on a donut just so Morpheus can take you whenever he needs.
Is this a toilet?
No.
No. Have you heard my dick's just that big.
I'm concerned for you, too.
Have you heard of my prophecy?
The Oracle said I will fuck all the drivers of my ship. I have done
that's,
so.
That's why Tank quit, by the way.
His butthole wouldn't close anymore.
Tank died. Tank died because Z says that she lost both of her brothers.
She did.
So
yeah,
he ended up dying.
Well, that's what happened after you get shot in the belly with an electric gun and then Morpheus gets horny. I mean, you can't take both in one day.
Jesus, man. There's only so much a man can do.
Sighing his death. Anyway.
So, yeah. So we get the little drama between those two. And then we get the Zion temple cave. And we get the counselor. He comes and he talks to people. And basically everyone, he's hearing rumors, but they don't know exactly. But he asks Morpheus to speak. And Morpheus gives a rousing speech of, yes, the machines are coming to kill us, but I know we'll be here because we've been here for 100 years. And we'll be here even after the machines come. So don't worry. And everyone seems to take heart in his words.
And they have a giant rave / orgy. And it's all great. And then Neo and Trinity sneak away.
I gotta say, they have
private sex while everyone else is having an orgy.
It is so uncomfortable and so uncomfortable. Boring.
Took so long.
Yes.
Like, oh my God. The speech was shorter than the orgy scene. And it was just, and it wasn't supposed to be an orgy scene. It was supposed to be a celebration of life and all that. But it was an orgy. And uncomfortable, yes, Aaron, and way too long.
I remember even when this came out and I saw this in the theater, I was like, when is this ever going to end? This is literally.
It was an orgy in slow motion, too. So it was
boring.
Extra long.
I honestly, it was nothing even arousing to me. I was just like, this
boring,
is
boring, not exciting. And then when it was interlaced with Trinity and Neo's sex scene, which also was boring and PG-13 and also somewhat uncomfortable the way it was shot. Like, nothing about that was exciting or titillating. It was just awkward and long.
I didn't think it was awkward or long. That was, so their sex scene was more intimate, less like.
Yeah, but they intertwined it with the. But they intertwined it. They intertwined it with the rave scene.
And I don't guess to know what type of art they were going for, but the whole point of them being secluded and alone was the intimacy, the vulnerability between the two of them. That's what their sex scene was, and everybody else was. We need to live because we have no fear of dying. So
that's it.
They were each afraid, you know, they're afraid of losing each other. So
it's quiet and
timid, it's mild. And then the orgy is crazy and rampant and ridiculous because they're all like, fuck it.
You can do that.
There is a different style.
I mean, you can do it and still like get the same feeling. The way it was done just was drawn out and not successful. I mean, I know what they're going for, but it just was like, I don't know. I think it could have been done better.
Yeah, it's your last night on Earth. Like, what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah. Most sex scenes make me uncomfortable regardless. It doesn't necessarily titillate. So I was fine with it. It did just take way too long. And yeah, they did have different styles. So I think it was done on purpose that they were done so differently.
I mean, it was definitely done on purpose. I just think it could have been done betterly.
Okay.
Any way they could have done it, they could have, even if they just took that scene and they just cut the time in half, it probably would have been a little bit easier for me.
Yeah.
I've never liked that scene. I don't think it works at all. Okay, then we jump back to the Matrix and we got this guy, Bane, and he with an another crew. Yeah. And they're running from some agents, and as they get to the phone, the one guy gets out and Bane's remaining, and then who jumps up is Smith, and he puts his hand into Bane's chest and he's like, oh God, and he's like, Smith will suffice. And he turns into another Smith clone. So,
and then this person goes into the real world. Hint two, Matrix within a Matrix.
Yes. Exactly. Neo wakes up and he's as usual, he's having
it was a dream
trouble sleeping,
and Trinity dying just doesn't get me off anymore.
Oh my God, I don't understand. It used to make me so hard. So he walks outside, and then the counselor shows up, and they have a chat, and they have a whole thing about control and machines and who controls who. And like Neo is like, he takes him down to some level that's all where all the
pumps and stuff is that keeps everyone alive.
Yeah, and he says the difference is we could turn off all these machines. They don't control us. He goes, yeah, that's true, but then we're going to have a lot of work to do trying to survive. So
it was really profound to have that discussion so early on in the film.
Yeah, we do. We have a nice talk between what's our relationship with machines and what they are. So, jump to the next morning, and they have a message from the Oracle, and they are Morpheus gets permission to take the ship and go meet with her. So, and just before they leave, Link and Z, she's not very happy that he's going, but she gives him one of her like lucky charm bracelets or necklace. Mm-hmm. So.
A token.
Take my lucky charms.
They are magically delicious.
Delicious.
As they're walking out and ready to go, the Bane, the guy who got took over by Smith, is walking through the tunnel, and he's cutting his hand, and he's ready to sneak up on Neo. And the last minute, just before he's going to stab him, that little plucky kid comes up and like, Neo, hey, this kid gave me the spoon. I don't know what it means, but he says you can bend it if you want.
No, he said it's really important. He said you know what it means.
Yes, so we got the pig. We got that little kid come back.
So thank God for the annoying plucky kid.
It's not the Death Sticks kid, unfortunately. I'm just the Death Sticks kid.
I know.
Got any Death Sticks?
Bane kind of like stops and he goes, oh, I just want to wish you good luck. Yeah, see you later.
Oh, my hand's covered in blood. I don't know what that's about.
Commander Locke is pissed off at the counselor. I need all the ships there, and he's kind of just like, yeah, you know, they got to do what they got to do, so let him go do it. Then we get Neo. He's back in the Matrix, and he's in some market, and he comes to I don't know if it's a restaurant or something similar, like a tea shop, and there's a man sitting on a table. His name's Seraph, and he
likes the font.
Yes, just like the font. And I think it's more like the angel, actually. But anyways.
Either way.
So they start in a fight scene in there, and he just does the fight. He just fights Neo just to find out that if he really is the one. And he goes, you could just ask me. He goes, some things you just have to see for yourself. So.
Oh, I loved it. So, what did he say? You never know someone until you fight them. Loved it.
Right. So
to know thyself, you have to fight yourself.
I do that every night.
Does that count? Does beating off count?
No.
Ew.
Although
you're beating yourself up, so it's kind of fighting, right?
No, it's not fighting.
So he takes them.
What do they call it? Cockfighting.
They call it self-abuse.
They call it cockfighting because roosters are commonly referred to as cocks, and that's a bird fight.
Oh, it's not two people whipping. Okay.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's a lot less exciting.
Those are your clubs you keep going to at night.
Well, Holly's got the glory hole down the street from her, so she should know.
Well, you know.
It's in New York. It's not
lots,
here.
Lots of cockfighting happening there.
There's something going on there. So, yeah. So anyway, so they go to meet the Oracle. He takes her to takes Neo through some door.
There's back doors that go off the grid. Like
you said, back Link.
Well, it is a back door. I didn't say there's a butthole that That's leads to a hallway. It's a back door.
So we get the Oracle again. She's sitting on a bench in a little square. Sitting on a bench in the park, watching the birds. So she starts talking about like basically free will and choice, and the idea that you know, he offers her to sit down, and he says, "I felt like sitting," and you know, it's like all these little things, like you know, like she. She's saying that you already make these decisions before they even happen, which is kind of blowing Neo's mind. And then she starts talking about how the Matrix works, and she talks about first how there's programs like the birds that control things that are, you know, simple programs, and they do what they're supposed to do.
Have you ever seen Bigfoot and ghosts? Those are glitches in the Matrix. Those,
werewolves, yes. Vampires, and ghosts.
Yeah, so those are glitches in the Matrix. Those are
aliens. Those are rogue programs.
Those are rogue programs that should have been decommissioned, gone back to the source and the machine mainframe, but they haven't. And but some decide to keep around. So then we
chilling at Persephone's. I would like that too.
So what we have is sentient programs, technically, that are living in the Matrix, and they just don't want to go die.
It would be great if the doctor from the Voyager was there, just hanging out with them.
Hello, what's your medical emergency?
I don't have werewolf anatomy programs. No.
Your cock seems to be all hairy.
Oh, I have a bald problem, if you haven't noticed.
Anyways,
you think he programmed himself with a bald dick because he didn't have any hair on his head?
I'm sure he did. Cass would know. So,
and Seven too, probably.
Yeah, maybe. So then he goes into the whole idea of that what free will is and what the Matrix does and and the idea of having free will and choice. So Trinity, he wants to know about Trinity, if she lives or dies. And she basically says, you already made the choice. There's nothing you can do about it. Basically, it's basically like dominoes. Things are set and things are happening that are going to make those things happen.
Choice is an illusion. It's very video game meta. Because, I mean, video games have always kind of or more recently, they're trying to give you like the idea that you have a choice in the thing. But it doesn't matter what you choose. Everything perceive of choosing, it's already been programmed one way or the other. So, I mean, it's always an illusion of choice.
And Neo kind of is freaked out, and he says, I can't accept that, because if Trinity dies, you know, obviously he loves her. And, you know, this is something that Neo's going to wrestle with now he's already started with it, but he's going to wrestle with it even more now, because the Oracle basically is saying that these things are already happening. There's nothing you can do about it. So, next, she says that what they need to do is they need to find the Keymaker, and this is owned by an old program from one of the, I don't know if she said the original Matrix iterations, but very, very old.
I think he was around since the beginning, because Merovingian later says, I've survived your predecessors and I will survive you. More hints of a Matrix than a Matrix.
Right.
Three or four now? I'm counting. It'll matter next week.
All right.
For the movie I haven't seen yet. Well, it'll matter.
Yeah, so the Merovingian is as she says, is an old and dangerous program, and that he has the Keymaker.
He's a very French program, apparently.
Uh-huh. I don't think he is French. I think he just has a weird fetish.
I have the French fetish.
He likes wiping his ass with swearing in French.
Sadly. With French swear words. Uh-huh.
Are we all Lumiere now?
So, oh, I'm Sonny Lucky, you are. It's gonna be a hot one.
All right. So, Neo needs to go to the source, and this is why they need the Keymaker. So, and at this point, Seraph comes and tells Oracle that she has to leave, and he takes her through a door, and then we get the
back into the network, the backdoor network,
the backdoor network, and then we get Agent Smith shows up. And he has a little exchange with Neo, and
a little exchange. Well, I guess the verbal exchange was short.
Yeah, a little back and forth, and then we have the multi Smith Neo fight where the Smith clones attack Neo,
it's a 20-minute fight.
Yeah, can we talk about this fight real quick?
Yeah.
Can we make the conversation about the fight really short, unlike the actual fight scene?
It is ridiculously long. I think it's close to 10 minutes. I could be wrong.
It's like a third of the length of the movie. It's very long.
No, it's not that long.
It was so long.
It was almost as long as this uncomfortable sex scene we had.
It was definitely
longer than the uncomfortable opening, but it reminded me of how long and annoying that scene was too. Either of you want to talk about it first? Because I just want to rant about this scene.
To me, it was just like, first, they just kept on upping the ante, so it just kept on getting more and more ridiculous. So, mm-hmm. First, it's like, maybe 5 or 6, and then there's, like, 12.
Yeah.
And then there's, literally
50.
Yeah, and it just keeps on getting crazier and crazier.
Is he believing having one-liners with himself? And me too.
I did like that. That was funny.
No, it's great, but the other issue...
So many Prince Alberts.
But then there's the issue, too, is that, we're going into, obviously, the fight scenes between them, and then it becomes animated with CGI, and the CGI definitely falls down here at certain points.
Super yes. Noticeable. Yeah.
I think... Sorry, I'll go last.
No, I'm just saying it's very noticeable. And, maybe it was cool in 2003, but in 2019, it looks a little like old video game stuff. Like you're playing The Sims.
Yeah.
With Neo and Agent Smith's clone. So
it's kind Neuron. Of here Neuron. In the here in the vehicle scene, you can really tell what they used for the computer generated visual effects. And we know that there's just no texture. There's a lot of dimension. Like, they made it look really, really good. But if there was texture in it, it would have been a little more believable. But I think for 2003, this was amazing.
It was definitely amazing for 2003. And it was definitely head and shoulders above the first Matrix. Because, in the first Matrix, CG fell down a lot more than it did in this movie. They were trying a lot more things with this movie.
They did, yeah.
And the budget's 3 times higher, basically, than the first movie's budget. So, they poured a ton into the CG budget, but still, it just doesn't age super great.
Yeah.
And I do remember when I first saw this movie, I got like, oh my god. Oh my god. Come on. Oh my god. Like, I was just like, this is so ridiculous. Like, just... It's almost a joke within itself. Like, they just, and then more Smiths show up. Mm-hmm. And, like, see how crazier and crazier it can get. So, and finally, Neo is like, I can't, fight all these guys. And he takes
flies
it.
Away.
And he
flies
and,
away.
And he needed to have
gonna
flown away.
Gotta fly.
I wanna fly away. He should have done that 5 minutes before this. Like, should've legitimately. It was so
save us the this pain of it.
And as the actor, if I granted they're not real stunts, it's all CG. Most of it's CG. It could have been cut down a lot because a lot of that wasn't even the actual actors. It was just like, oh, let's show them what we can do with this computer. Which that's great for the time. It was very impressive, but for the story, it definitely needed to be cut down. And you didn't need that much. To make your point that he's amazing and that Smith is like, I want to do that. You know what I mean?
I think it was trying to show in some mass. I think it's, like I said, I think it's a little bit of a joke. Like, they're like, let's make it more ridiculous.
I don't think
they're having the climax of the movie halfway through the movie instead of at the end of the movie. Because that seems more like a climactic fight scene, you know?
Because it was so long.
It's so big and so long, and it's like in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to make a point, too, that the Smith is becoming, is basically a virus now within the Matrix.
Yeah, he's growing.
He's out of control.
Too. Yeah.
Neo blowing him up made him a virus.
Right. So.
Well, I don't know. I just think that the whole scene, like, I think they did a great job. I can't really be nitpicky about the visual effects because at that time this was groundbreaking stuff. But it was too long, and yeah, it wasn't that it was boring, because like I said, if I was the actor and I got to do all these fight scenes, like, I would be so jazzed. I would be so excited. I'd be ready to just kick some ass. And then that's too much. It's just too much.
Yeah. It gets a little too long. It's but for sure.
Kind of like this conversation when I was like, can we make this short? Yeah, it wasn't short.
No, it's just they should have made it. They should have cut off at least 2 minutes off of it. I think it would have proved its thing. But what have you? You know, it is what it is.
They didn't let us edit it for whatever reason.
Well, you know, I'm not an artist, but flow is important. You know, when we, you know, people don't need to know how we do the show, but like when we edit this, sometimes we take like a couple of milliseconds out just to help with flow, like just to help with pacing. Same thing with a film. You can't let your audience get bored, especially with a fight scene. And I was bored, and I love fight scenes. So.
Yeah. No, and it was a cool fight scene for a lot of reasons. It just
way too long. Got bored.
From there, we jumped back to Zion. We have a council with all the different ship crews and their captains. And
we're giving them more ships? More ships? Why? We can't give them more ships. But we can. But we can't. But we can.
Well, yeah. So they, the council wants to see if they can help the Nebuchadnezzar.
Because they haven't heard anything, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And we get...
Bane really wants his captain to go. And his captain's like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, so Captain Soren decides to volunteer.
And Niobe.
And then Niobe. So,
much to Cox's
Locke's
dismay.
Not happy about that.
His dick shrinked up so bad, his voice so raised bad. A bit.
Did anybody else... Can anybody explain the some things never change and some things do thing?
Just cheesy writing.
No. It was supposed to mean something between Locke.
It was the relationship, because she said the thing to Morpheus earlier.
Well, Morpheus said it to her, and then she said it to Locke. So I wasn't sure if I missed something. If were Locke
they used
and Morpheus
to have threesomes
friends
and now it's
before?
Weird.
No, I just think it all comes down to obviously Morpheus and Niobe had a relationship, and then for whatever reason that didn't work out, and then she. Start dating or, whatever with Locke.
Sorry.
And, and I just think that, when you said, earlier in the, with the rave scene, she goes, do you still dance or you whatever? And he goes, some things never change or something like that.
And
like,
he put
he's
his
like,
hand
yeah.
out
he's
to
like,
dance
yeah, I can
with
dance.
Her. And
he's
then
like,
Locke
I can cut
showed
up, I can
up
run.
And he was like, and some things don't change.
Right. And then now she goes, some things never change. And he's like, yeah, because I'm here to help Morpheus,
Right.
That's what, I'll never change that. I'll be there for him, so.
And that's how I took it. I took it as, like, she was saying, well, my loyalty, not that my loyalty is not to you, my husband, but my, but you have changed. Like, you're being a dick, and I don't know what the fuck's up with that, but bye.
Locke has got, like, a huge stick up his ass.
Yeah.
I mean, he just needs to settle the fuck down.
I don't know how he gets his pants up over it.
I know. He's like, oh, I need the extended pants.
My asshole's extended. I need special pants to cover it.
They make those, Justin Bieber started wearing those pants where the crotch is at the knees. Maybe.
Oh, that's nice.
How come that never made it?
This
you
is
know
the
why?
New cod piece.
This is the new cod piece.
Nice.
Codpiece 1590, Codpiece 2019. Oh,
this one has a stick that goes up your ass.
Yes.
Put it
they
on.
They used to put cod pieces on armor, which is pretty impressive. It's like, stab me in the dick, it won't hurt.
Funny thing about the whole conversation earlier about Jada Pinkett and Will's son.
You got stabbed in the dick?
No, but the first time I ever saw those pants was on him, and I was like, what is he wearing?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Children need cod pieces.
Yes.
Give the children cod pieces.
Cod pieces for all the kids.
Why is that little girl wearing a cod piece? Well, she's going to be trans.
Equality,
oh,
okay.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Better make that transition. All right, so back back in the Matrix.
Gotta scratch cod piece. Just keep
going. We get back in the Matrix, we get Neo, Trinity, and Morpheus. They arrive at a French restaurant, and this is where they meet the Merovingian.
He gives a pretty lady with big boobs orgasm cake.
And Persephone, which is Monica
Goddess
Bellucci.
Of the underworld. Oh.
And she's like, va-va-voom, that's a woman. So
Persephone is way better looking than the other one. I don't know what Merovingian's issue is.
He's an asshole. I think that's what it all comes down to.
He just wants to control every woman who walks into the restaurant with orgasm cake.
Can I get some of that orgasm cake? And he was like, can I get some of that?
Like, Neo's watching it because he can see the code. He sees the orgasm explode in her. He's like,
I did not like that scene. I really didn't.
Can I get that cake?
To anybody who hasn't seen the film, basically they go to find the key maker and they have to talk to that guy. And that guy is like, talking about control and how he likes to be in control. And so he had his chefs take this carefully constructed chocolate cheesecake that was coated with, like, not coated like on top, but like coated as in the Matrix with this crazy virus essentially that's going to give her this orgasm. And like, so when you start seeing in code, you see it go through her arm and then it goes through her knees and the way that it explodes at the clitoris was just like, oh my god, come on,
it's like
guys.
A butterfly shape.
It was like, it's a awesome. Yeah, it didn't even match anything that would have been
not anatomically correct, but
it should have spread like pixelated, but it wasn't. It was like, is it weird that that's what I'm critiquing about that?
I honestly, the whole thing's a little weird.
Was very
weird than the Monty Python Meaning of Life song when it goes into the pregnant and makes a woman pregnant and goes and you go into.
That's funny though. Yeah. That's funny though. But you know, the Merovingian is obviously
he's a creeper.
Yeah, he's a despicable character, and he's obviously, you know, he's been around, and he's completely, what do you want to call it? He's
disenfranchised everything.
Not just, I wouldn't use disenfranchised.
He's a control freak.
Well, yes, but there's more to it than that. I think he's become so cynical and jaded, and he's like, you know, he only gets off on the really weird shit now.
Orgasm cake, you know.
So, and then he goes into the whole idea of cause and effect, and he goes, you don't even know why you're asking for the key maker. You don't even know why you want to go to the source. Like, you don't even know what you're asking for. Why do you want it? What do you want to do with it? And they're like,
we were just told to. And he's like, well, since you're so good at doing what you're told, go back to the Oracle and tell her fuck off, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And then they're like, oh, shit, yeah.
I guess we should go do that, then. I don't know what else to do.
No. Morpheus, what do we do now?
Well, they were quite dismissed.
Yes, and so as they're leaving... and
Morpheus is like, it is how it should have been.
We're still alive.
But we failed, and he's like, we're still alive, so that's how we know we're still on the path. And then...
Persephone shows up and she's like, I need an orgasm kiss since that lady got an orgasm cake.
So Persephone has been living with this guy for so long and she's like, I remember when, you know, he used to love me and I used to feel that passion. The passion's gone and I want you to kiss
me. I'll give you what you want if.
Yeah. You kiss me like you kissed Trinity.
Kiss.
And at first.
And then
Trinity is like, you know, why don't you kiss this? And pulls out her gun.
But they're in the Matrix. It's not even their real bodies.
I know. I mean, obviously she rolled with it. So it's okay. It's just a kiss, and it's to get this, you know, this key maker.
Have you ever had to defend your love in front of somebody?
Well, I mean, we're talking about some bigger things than just that. I mean, and they do some pretty crazy shit anyways that are put themselves in far more danger than a kiss.
No, I just mean, like, have you ever had to, like, say, whoa, back the fuck up, man. This is my wife.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. I've gotten street fights.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, like, I'm totally there, right with Trinity. Like, I will fucking blow your face off. Do it again.
I didn't have a gun to blow anybody's face well. Off, but...
I feel for Trinity at this moment because I'm like, yeah, I will fuck somebody up.
But I feel for Monica Bellucci. So
I do too.
I'll kiss you.
I volunteer tribute.
My wife would probably be like, "Good show.
You know, kiss Monica Bellucci." You know what I was expecting?
Hmm.
I was expecting her because you know she kisses Neo. And then she steps aside, and then she steps to Trinity, and I wanted to see that happen too. The same way.
That would be great. That would be fantastic. That way she can feel both sides the love.
Exactly. That's what I was like. Oh God, is this where this is going?
I hope so. We're gonna have a threesome later. That would be great.
Or it'd be funny if he had Neo kissing the front of her, and then had Trinity kissing the back of her head. And so it was like, she's like a sandwich.
Yeah. And then she kisses Morpheus just so he doesn't feel left out. So you can kiss me too, Morpheus. Okay.
Or nobody wants to kiss
Fatherly
Morpheus.
Fatherly love from Morpheus, though. Forehead only.
Yeah, Morpheus is just like, nobody wants to kiss Morpheus.
You don't look like Tank and you don't look like Link, so I don't
Although,
know if I can kiss you.
I do have to say, I was unimpressed by her... her snarkiness, because what she said to Trinity was like, I envy you, but, and then she goes, but everything has to end. And I was like, you fucking, I almost said the C word, and some people don't like that, so I won't say it. But
you said it like a million times, a couple, several episodes.
You called me one just a day ago.
Did I call you?
No.
Well, it means something different coming from me, okay?
All right. Well, anyways,
it's an affectionate term.
it's my other code name, yes, dishwasher.
Code name.
Dishwasher cunt.
All right. So, anyway.
Gotta clean that set with some dish soap.
Spork's nowhere to be found.
Spork's in the butthole. That's why it can't be found.
Okay.
Yeah, Morpheus Morpheus the whole time is like, no, I have seats in my Nebuchadnezzar. I have seats that are open.
Hey, Persephone, you want to sit on this neat toilet seat thing I've got in my ship? You can fly the ship.
You can fly the ship, I swear.
I swear. I'll put my joystick in you. Wait.
I'm pretty sure she's done with being controlled.
You're pretty sure she's done getting dicked around.
Getting dicked around, that's right.
So when she gets kissed properly by Neo, she's okay, and she takes him into a back room.
Check this out. I carry silver bullets because these guys happen to
Another
be werewolves.
Door.
Werewolves. And
you said
she
back
shoots,
door again.
she
back
shoots
door,
the one.
Back door, back door. It's just a door. It is not a butthole.
Yes, it is.
So we are actually in the asshole of the Matrix right now.
Convince me otherwise. You know that you know
the
change
colon
the,
and the bowels of you know, the Matrix.
The colon. We are moving
you
through
know
the
change
colon.
My mind meme. The guy sitting there with the coffee in his hand. Like, yeah, that's my thing. Change my mind about backdoor. You do that.
Yeah. Well, let's not get into it now. But anyway, so. She shoots one of these goons with the silver bullet, and she goes, go find my husband, tell him what I did. And he's in the bathroom, in the ladies' room, getting head. So he runs off, and then they takes her back into a further like dungeon, and this is where they find the key maker. He's basically a giant key shop making thousands of keys.
I have no other calling in life. I have to make keys.
He's like, that's all he does. God,
these are my car keys.
So, from there,
the ghost twins chase them.
Yeah, so the Merovingian shows up with the ghost twins, and obviously Persephone's there, and he goes, "Why would you do this? Why would you?" You know, and he's like,
"It's all fun and games, husband."
And he's like, effect, "You know, bitch."
Yeah, and he says, "And you know, it's just because you're wearing that lipstick from that girl." And he goes, "I don't have any lipstick." And he says, "It's not on your mouth." So,
he was. They were playing the popsicle game.
Yes, exactly. So they take off with Morpheus and Trinity take off with the key. Well, the keymaker actually takes off first, and they go after.
I can't go back to the key room. It drives me insane. I have to make keys.
I have to make keys. It's ridiculous. And then Neo decides he's going to fight all of the Merovingian's goons, and we have another great fight scene between all of the different weaponry in that hallway and jumping around up and down. On these stairwells.
Yes, it's fun. And then after they're all defeated, he's like, I've survived you other predecessors, and I'll survive you. He runs to the store, Neo chases them, and all of a sudden they're in the mountains. He calls Link, and Link's like, "You wouldn't believe this, man, but you're in the mountains.
You're far away." And
he's like, really? I didn't realize those white things were mountains.
That's a mountain? So he takes off, he flies away. And at the same time, the ghost twins are chasing after the Keymaker and Morpheus and Trinity. He opens a door, and they go through into a parking garage where they steal a car. And this is where we have this incredibly long chase scene with the car, with the twins, and with agents, and with police officers. And it leads up onto a highway. So, and I could go into it, but it's very, very long.
The
moral of the story is Neo flies in, saves the day. He picks up Morpheus.
They did some really cool stuff.
There's a lot of cool stuff.
But there's
way too much to get into.
To go over. Yeah, way too much.
It's a big fight scene. It's spectacular. It's cool. They built like a mile of highway just to film it.
And do you know where it was, Dave?
Buffalo?
In Alameda.
Oh! With nuclear vessels!
With the nuclear vessels.
They built it right next to nuclear. Oh, Chekhov would be so proud.
That's right. So it is a great sequence, and there's no getting around it.
Watch the movie.
Our words will not do it justice.
Now, just be mindful that this is 2000. I mean, this came out in 2003. The tech is from 2002, 2001. Like, be mindful of that. Like I said, there's no texture, but there's depth. So you
be
can
mindful.
Tell.
Use the force.
I didn't see anything that was terrible. Like, it, I mean, it's not as
bad as Agent Smith.
Not terrible. Agent Smith.
I did see things.
The same issues. So like, they had to. So when they're on top of the
truck,
rig,
the trailer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That whole scene is main. Like a lot of the close ups are. Actual footage, but the zooming in shots, and if you see the cars driving by, they're very flat. The colors are not dimensional. You can very much tell that it is computer generated and that it is not actually there. There are other times in this scene where you see, you know, underneath cars and axles and wheels and you think it's real, but it's not. So they were able to make a great
scene. Parts of it are more seamless than other parts.
Exactly. So sometimes it feels like, you know, I don't know if anybody out there watches the behind-the-scenes stuff, but sometimes when you watch deleted scenes, they're unfinished. Some of this movie felt like that because of that, but only because we are privileged to live in 2019 and have effects that this film didn't have, and
like Avengers
this
Endgame.
Film paved the way for those, and I haven't seen that yet, so shh, mum's the word. But just saying, like, it's very impressive, but now that we've had, what, almost 15 years of progress. Mm-hmm. Like, we just know, like, okay, well, if they had some kind of dimension, like, you know, different flecks of color, it could have broken up. Or, like, right. The vehicle should have some kind of shine, but it's not shine. It's more of a flat color. Even though the shades, you know, it's shaded properly, it just doesn't shine the way it would normally. It's just, we're privileged to know that now. Back then, it was like, holy crap, that's probably fake, but holy crap, how'd they do that?
Right. So. No, at the time, it still, I didn't deconstruct the whole scene, but there were certain things I definitely noticed that were like maybe not rendered as well, but it's still nothing. It didn't miss any beats for me. I thought everything was there that needed to be there.
Yeah.
And it was very exciting. It goes on for a very long time. It's probably almost 15 minutes long, maybe longer. I don't know, but it's a very long time, this chase scene, but they do get away with the key maker, and like you said, Dave, Neo saves Morpheus and the key maker at the last second. Back in Zion, the machines are still drilling through the earth, but they've been slowed down by some iron, but they're going to be there in 9 hours, so they don't have much more time. Back in the Matrix, we have this very long, drawn-out speech with Morpheus that really kind of got under my skin. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but
sitting around talking to the Keymaker?
Yeah, I was like, shut the fuck up, Morpheus.
Yeah, that was another pacing thing. Like, that should have come before scenes of what was happening underground.
Yes, it's just
bad time, poorly timed.
It just felt like Morpheus was out of step with, maybe that was the point of it?
Maybe
they were trying to, so Morpheus is, you know, doing all this lip service, and it's like, you know, Morpheus, just shut the fuck up and get moving, you know? But, so they've devised a plan where they have to get into this certain floor of this building to enter into this back door area to get to the source that mm-hmm. the Keymaker can get them into. Mm. But at the same time, they have to cut all the power, which they have to cut the electrical grid.
27 for like blocks.
Right, so they basically have to shut down the complete power station. And at the same time, you need somebody to kind of like make sure that the backup generators don't kick back in and get power to it. So they all have their different missions to go through. And Neo and Morpheus and the Keymaker are going to be in the building. Nairobi is going to shut off the power station. And then what was the other guy's name? Soren is going to take the emergency network down. So everything starts going into play there. Oh, and Neo asks Trinity to sit this out. He's like, please
because
don't
of his
go
visions.
Into the Matrix. Yes, he's like, don't go in. And she says, all right, if you say don't go in, I'll go in. Can I have some of that cake?
Can I have some of that cake while you're gone?
So the whole plan goes into starts moving forward, and they shut down the power, and this is where Neo and Morpheus go into the back hallway to the doors, and this is where, unfortunately, Agent Smith is there with all his other Smith.
They also have the Keymaker.
Yes, they have the Keymaker.
You get a 10-minute fight scene in the hallway.
At the same time, one of the Sentinels come in and get rid of what's his name? Soren's ship.
Yes.
And they, all three of those guys in the emergency
drop.
Backup, they just drop. And this is where Trinity moves into action because she's like, the power's going back on. Thankfully and unthankfully, because they're fighting the Smith agents,
they're unaware.
They need more time anyways, yeah. Because he's fighting that. So Trinity plugs herself into the Matrix, and this is where we get the whole sequence.
She gets jacked, right?
That's how you use that, right? She jacks in.
She jacks off.
Yes. In. She and, jacks in.
Oh, thank
you. Jacking in, jacking out.
Jacking in, jacking off. So
it's only jacking off if you're in the Matrix and you're just... ignorant to the truth.
That's true. Listen, you jack off. So
it's a form of control, jacking off.
Jacking off. So at the same time, so we see the whole sequence of events happen with Trinity, where she shuts off the emergency system, but then the agents start coming in after her.
It's just as Neo dreamed.
And then from there, they get through. Basically, Neo just grabs the Keymaker and Morpheus and just blows through all the Agent Smiths. And they get through the door.
But
and
Trinity hasn't actually come in yet. They get through the door before Trinity comes in, doesn't she?
Yeah, I'm
this is happening this somewhere simultaneously.
Simultaneously, yeah. But they get through the door before Trinity's actually jacked in, I think.
Right. It's in the same time frame. But so during this time, when they get through that doorway and the Keymaker shuts the door, unfortunately,
he's been shot!
It is as it was meant to be.
And I never got a piece of that cake. So he gives them the key, and they say, go through this door, and so that's where Neo goes. And this is where Neo meets the architect.
The TV room man.
TV room man. And we find out a lot of information.
A lot of information.
a huge information
90%
dump.
Of the movie's plot happens in this room.
Right, why did it take so long to get here, and then...
And why does it have to be so drawn out?
All the fight scenes come to this, and then it's just a giant info dump. You had to watch... The reason the movie made so much money is because you had to watch this scene over and over and over again to understand what the fuck he was saying.
Right, so Aaron, please give us a summation of what the architect... what the architect tells.
Ergo vis-a-vis. Ad hoc, ergo proctor hoc, stick it up my prostate doc. Oh my
the architect basically brings out the thing that there's been different iterations of the Matrix, and he said that there was one, and the first one was too perfect, and mankind rejected it, and so he had to make it less of a perfect world, but he also had to bring in free will and choice, and this is where the Oracle
came in.
That is sort of like a he said what this would be the mother or of the Matrix if I'm the father kind of thing. So the issue is that this whole thing with the attack on Zion and the robots coming to kill everybody, this has happened over and over again.
It's happened again, and this is the first time, and we're super good at destroying Zion. More references efficient. To this being a Matrix within a Matrix.
Up until this point, it felt as though, you know, we kind of knew there was at least one other one, and he woke up the human race initially, and they've been slowly waking people up from then on. Up until this point, that's what I was assuming, was that it wasn't necessarily a clone or a reincarnation, it was legitimately other people with this same skill. But it turns out that it's been Neo every time, like over and over and over again. It's like they keep resetting
the Matrix. It's a giant video game. The Matrix gets reset. The real world is another Matrix because the real world has to reset. Because if they destroyed Zion over and over and over again, why would you physically rebuild that? If it's the Matrix in a Matrix, it's got to be a thing because if you reset it, then it just goes back to how it was.
I don't think that they could actually... I think he was lying.
Well, we can get into that more in a second. I mean, because we're going to get kind of like the rest of this. Because there's a lot to talk about for this. Anyways, so the architect says... So basically, you're here for concession. This is what we're going to do. We're going to call a truce. You know, you're going to pick, 23 people, like, so many males, so many females, to rebuild Zion. So that's what you're going to do. We're going to, rebuild, Zion's going to get wiped out, and, you can make this choice or you can watch all humanity die. And you're going to go back to the source, as a code.
And then that's what, reset. Yeah. So it's just like, so.
And everything gets reset.
Yeah, so everything goes back to how it should be, and it's just like it's just a giant cyclical thing that happens over and over and over again.
And the Matrix would be basically, I guess, rebooted. So then he gives him a choice, and he says, you can either go save Trinity, or you can, go save humanity by going through this door. And because, you know, if he doesn't make this choice, they're just going to kill all the humans. And even Neo goes, well, he says, won't you need us. You can't just do that. You need everybody to do that. And he goes,
which comes back to the conversation with the Chancellor or the Counselor or whatever that guy's name was. Mm-hmm. About machines and humans needing one another.
Right, and he goes, but you need us. And he says, there's levels of...
survival.
Survival we're willing to accept.
Yeah.
So, but unfortunately, Neo just loves Trinity too much, and he takes the door for Trinity instead of saving the humankind and Zion. We get him flying through flying through the buildings as fast as he can to save Trinity as Trinity fights the agents, and we get the whole thing where she gets shot through the chest, and Neo catches her at the last second before she hits the ground, but I mean it's she's already
inevitable. Injured. She was literally shot in the heart, like that angle. They did a great job with the angle, like. That was a really good way to puncture that. Like, that was really good.
Yeah. No, it was really cool. So up on the rooftop, we have he removes the bullet, but she's still dying. And then he revives her by pumping her heart.
Which, so when I say I love that they thought to, because, you know, in the first film, there's so many things from the first film that are in this film, and this is one of those things. So, the fact that they're like, Neo, what do you see? When they're talking in the elevator, like, he sees in code, and he sees that, what is the actual phrase from the little girl, there is no spoon. Once you realize there is no spoon,
you can bend it. Yeah.
So I don't know what the actual thing is. It's a great line, but same thing in this instance. It really translates to the viewer that this is not a world. He can literally put his hand through her. Because it's all code, and pull the bullet out, and he does, and then she dies anyway. So he puts his hand through the code again, and pumps her heart so that she's at least sustainable enough to transfer back out of the Matrix. So I loved that was a little bit of a tie-in to the original film and to the original idea about.
Right.
Sorry, that
right.
was torn about the film.
Yeah, no, I get, yeah, definitely, and it's basically he's repaying Trinity for, bringing him
the
back
end of the film from last time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cycle, it's poetry, it rhymes.
So Morpheus doesn't understand how this prophecy hasn't come true, and Neo is like, don't you get it? This is all control.
It's all bullshit, The
prophecy, the Oracle's prophecy, was a system control to make us do what they wanted us to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then all of a sudden we get the Sentinels come in, and they're right out of their EMP range, and they're going to throw. We saw it before. They start throwing bombs at the ship. So they threw a bomb at it, and they all abandon the Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar gets blown up by this bomb. And Morpheus says, I have dreamed a dream, but now that dream is gone from me. And they start taking off through the wasted ruins.
Whoa, it feels different. It feels like I'm still in the Matrix.
Yes, and Neo then sees the Sentinels coming at them, and he uses his power.
Force lightning like the Emperor.
And just knocks them all down. So
just stops them right as they're attacking him.
Right.
Then he passes out.
And who's there in the bed next to him is Bane.
His girlfriend Bane.
Yes, Bane. Because he's the only survivor of the ship that was hit, that we actually saw the bombs for the first time from that
Captain Soren's ship, right?
Yeah, Captain Soren, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's to be concluded in the next movie. And then to be concluded, movie.
Yeah.
So, who wants to go first on this? Matrix Reloaded. Dave.
All right. I remember seeing this movie in the movie theater. I remember the manager coming out and talking to us and saying, "Thank you for coming to see the Matrix Reload." He said it so many times. He never finished the word Matrix or Reloaded. It was kind of funny. This movie's pretty good. Like, I mean, I'm trying to block out the third one, and like, this movie's got so much promise. They're like introducing new things to us, like this Matrix within a Matrix that they keep talking about over and over and over again, subtly things. I mean, like, this is called foreshadowing. There's lots of foreshadowing for what the next movie could be, and it's super exciting. I can't wait to see what's going to happen in the next movie next week with this Matrix and a Matrix that they keep showing us. I want to see how that goes. Because the Matrix, it just seems so, like, I'm so excited because the Matrix, this movie's talking about all this layers of control. And everything's about control. The machines, the oracle, the architect, everything is coming together. And so we're seeing all these layers about how humanity is controlled and how choice is just an illusion. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very fascinating. It's very interesting. The movie itself was good. Just like we've said all throughout, the fight scenes are kind of overdrawn out. So that was kind of annoying. And most of the plot dumps, I mean, you get the first plot dump at the Merovingian. You get the second plot dump at the... you know, the architect, and everything else is just a lot of fight scenes to string together this stream of consciousness. And I think the first movie did a lot better job of balancing philosophy and, you know, deep thoughts and the action. I feel like it was a lot better balanced, where this movie was balanced a lot harder toward the action, yeah. And a lot less toward the philosophy, and a lot less toward the intellectualism that made the first movie so wonderful.
Yeah, and they didn't interweave it as well. I think it was like action, information dump, you know, and it wasn't like, and none of it was light either. It was like a lot of fighting or a lot of information.
And it wasn't sparsed out. And the thing, I think one of the most disappointing things about this movie is the last movie is that in the end of the last movie, like Neo's like talking to the architect, presumably. Or the Matrix, you know, the mainframe, whoever he's on the phone with at the end of the movie. He's like, look, I'm going to wake people up. I'm going to start, like, getting them to understand what's going on. I'm going to start freeing their minds. And none of that happens in this movie. He's not...
That's because it was supposed to be the Animatrix. That's the gap.
Yeah, the gap is the final fight of the Osiris. It directly ties into this. But, I mean, he's not really opening their minds. And, you know, I thought he would have, like, taught Trinity and Morpheus how to fight better, like you know, since he's, like, he's understanding, like, how everything's tied together.
I think they mostly, actually, Morpheus and Trinity definitely have leveled up since the last movie.
A little bit, indeed. But...
I would say a lot of bit. They did some crazy shit in this movie.
Especially since a lot of their stuff in The Matrix is coded in. They can code those skills.
Yeah. I felt more of anything that this movie's the pacing's way off. Mm-hmm. Like that's where this movie really suffers. It's like the rave orgy scene, the long fight between the Neo and the Smiths, the architect information dump, the Morpheus talking over and over like so long over that part where. You know, they're setting up to take over or to shut down the power system or power station. You know, there's just the pacing just seemed really off on this movie. I mean, everything else is, I mean, the ideas are all there. The action's there. The style's there. Yes, some of the CGI doesn't totally hold up, but I mean, I could give that a pass. I mean, that's not ruining the movie for me.
Right.
So
yeah, I definitely agree. There's definitely pacing issues, and I just like it's not as well interweaved as the first movie. It's like I don't think they really thought they were going to make a second movie because the first movie is just like it's really well done and really well crafted, and it's like oh wait, we made money, so let's cobble together two more movies and try to make it a mythology. And it's this movie is setting up for a lot of great things, so it'll be interesting to see how that pays off or doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Holly, what about yourself?
So, I kind of said a couple of things, and there was one thing that I was really hoping would come back to me, and I just could not remember it. But going in order of the film, I did write down a couple of things as we've been talking. So one of the things I wrote down was the earlier you had said something about Z and Link.
Mm-hmm.
And right. And how could you imagine like treating your spouse like that when they come back from ship or whatever? And no, as a military spouse, no, not in a million years would a good spouse welcome somebody home with that kind of animosity. Like I, especially, you know, even if Michael was torn away for at the last moment and had to be gone and I didn't have a timeline or any information or any support here. Like if he showed up at my door, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I've got beer in the fridge waiting for you. Like, welcome home. Holy shit. Do you want to talk?
Right.
It would not be met with, I can't believe you left me. You know, both my brothers are in the military, and I have an adopted brother as well who served in Desert Storm. And so, like, I'm not saying I know how it is, but yeah, you don't treat your spouse that way. Something I wanted to ask you guys, and again, don't bring up the third film, but in the first film, when Neo first takes the pill and he goes and sits in the chair and the mirror kind of takes him over, it's mm-hmm. the exact same effect as what Smith is doing. So I'm thinking that's some kind of foreshadowing and some at least very early depiction of that, of his ability to see the future. Because even when that happened, his group, they were like, what is that? They didn't even know what it was.
I would say I think that was just a product of that time, you know, the late 90s, early 2000. And I don't think when they did the first Matrix, they ever planned on doing two more.
I absolutely agree with that. I don't think they did at all.
I think it's just, you know, it's the same thing as when you see Terminator 2. You know, you have that liquid metal Terminator. I forgot what version he was.
T-1000.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same idea. It's just, I think it was easier for them to do that kind of, you know, CGI.
At the time. Well, I was hopeful that was some kind of foreshadowing or prediction of Neo's powers. I thought that was cool.
I don't think so. I really don't think they had a second, third one planned out. It just made oodles of money. So it's like, oh, look, we can make more.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Kind of like what they're doing with Avatar.
So
another thing I had written down was...
Fern Gully in space, you mean? Yes, exactly like that.
Your ass in space. Okay, so...
ass in space!
I do not approve of this message. Okay, so the architect. I didn't feel like the architect was being truthful. I felt like he was lying to Neo. Kind of a form of self-preservation rather than truth. Also,
I don't think the architect has anything to lie about.
What?
I don't think the architect has anything to lie about. He's completely in control. Like he's got everything.
Is he or is he not? See, that's the thing. At this point, for a viewer who has just now seen this film and has not seen anything to come, to me, I don't trust the architect. I don't believe that he is being truthful. It seems as though he's lying to save himself or to at least maintain control by taking control away from Neo. So that's what I have to say about the architect.
I would agree in some aspects because we find out, I'm not going to tell you what happens, but we find out there's another reason that Neo's there that's more useful for the Matrix, I guess. But control is always lying to, you know, keep people, you know, walking in lockstep.
Mm.
not always lying, but it can very often be lying.
Speaking of Locke, I actually wanted to bring him up. Maybe that's what I wanted to say earlier, but I kept feeling as though Locke was actually on the bad team, on the machines team, like wanting to eradicate the human race. So, not a fan of Locke. But I also wanted to mention, Dave, I don't get, and I don't want to get too much into the depth with it because I don't know what the next film holds, but I don't get your idea of the Matrix within a Matrix. And if you ask your fiancé, I am very quick to pick up on things, and I did not pick up on this. Well, so
I mean, like, yeah, but but you just pause for a second and just think about this for a second, Holly. Mm-hmm. How the hell did he knock those Sentinels out of the air?
So I get that. I totally get that. But I am the kind of person who accepts information, but I always take what I see.
How was he seeing premonitions of the future in the Matrix if he's still not plugged into it? How was Smith able to infiltrate the quote unquote real world if the code isn't still in place? You know what I mean?
So, like, how did Bane get the Smith code into him?
Both of your arguments are coming from a realistic point of view and logical, definitely logical. However, there's nothing in the film that leads, like, that indicates that aside from, oh shit, Neo just, like, crashed these two bots within two feet from each other. No. There's nothing that alludes to it.
Everything the architect says alludes to it. Everything he says.
A lot of what the architect says is muddled, and I could not focus on what he was saying because it was just very confusing.
Well, he said there's multiple instances of the Matrix. The Merovingian also backed up as multiple things of the multiple versions of the Matrix. Neo is embedded with a specific code that will reset the Matrix if he does exactly what the architect says. The Merovingian has lived through all other versions of Neo. So, I mean, like, Neo isn't special. He's part of the control mechanism of the Matrix. Well, so everything he's saying is indicating there's a Matrix within a Matrix, because if Neo's code and Neo woke up in the quote-unquote real world, Neo is still code. He's got to be for the Matrix to reset.
Okay,
the way the architect is saying.
So kind of what you're saying is, like, it's kind of also all over the place. So when Aaron was discussing, remember when Aaron took us into the room and I said, okay, Aaron, explain it as best you can, that didn't come out. So basically, you just said that what's the French fuck's name?
Merovingian.
So, so in one hand, you're saying he lived through many incarnations, but on the other hand, you're arguing a present mirror, essentially a mirror reality. So either it's reincarnated and it's repetitive, or there are multiple occurring matrixes. So explain to me if there is a difference without giving away the next film. So explain to me if it has been a past of reincarnated Neos, or if it's just literally a Neo multiverse that is coexisting in the same timeline, like same time frame.
That's not how I saw it. I saw it that is that there were six previous, this is the sixth iteration that we're seeing currently of the Matrix. There have been Matrix that have failed or have, you know, Neo has come to, you know, reset the Matrix kind of thing.
And that just means time and time again.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
But here's my thought of the Matrix and with the Matrix. Now, I have a counter argument for it too, but this is where, I mean, Smith being in the real world with Bane as he's about to stab him, hard to believe that a program would affect him when he took over him, you know, but I'll give that one a possible pass. Maybe there's something he could have done to affect his brain chemistry. But when Neo stops the Sentinels at the very end of the movie, or almost at the very end of the movie, that to me signals that they might be in a matrix within a matrix. Because why would he have any power or agency over those Sentinels? Now, I have one argument against that.
That's the strongest indication, but there's lots of smaller indications.
That, but I want to hear Aaron. I want to hear Aaron's train of thought before you interrupt, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so the other counter argument that Neo, they're not in a matrix within a matrix, is that possibly Neo has some kind of further connection to the matrix other than jacking in.
Right.
That maybe he is got some kind of like Wi-Fi connection to everything within the matrix, and he somehow can reach out through that Wi-Fi system, and he can tell the basically shut down those Sentinels right then and there, because he has that force of will to do that. That is a possibility. It's not clear, obviously.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's both of them hold equal weight for me.
To me, that second is more along the lines of what the story tells.
I honestly don't think so. I mean, I love that explanation, Aaron, because I've never heard that explanation before, and that's the best anyone's been able to do to convince me there might not be a matrix without a matrix. But I would like to read what Occam's Razor is. So suppose there exist two explanations of an occurrence. In the case that one requires the least speculation is usually better. So I believe Occam's Razor would probably point to matrix within a matrix making more sense, because if you listen to what the architect said, look, there's been six iterations of the matrix. We've destroyed Zion before. We're really good at it. And then he's also going to reset the people, by letting the Neo pick all these different people to repopulate Zion. So
I think it was a defense tactic.
No, it's not. It's like he says they destroyed it before. We're really good at it. The architect has no reason to lie. He said it's happened before and it's happened again. There's he's got really no reason to lie.
He's got a reason to lie.
Well, no, there's a reason. I mean, but wait, pause for a second. There is a reason to lie without giving out what happens in the next movie, which you already know, Holly, is that,
I don't know because I haven't watched the next movie.
No, I know, but oh, you okay. don't, but something you already do know is that the Agent Smith clones are out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And, that obviously you can probably figure we'll see Agent Smith again in the next movie.
Right.
And that is the bargaining chip that he can leverage on. Ooh. So maybe, that's why the architect might lie to Neo about certain things.
Right.
Not to give away everything that his weaknesses.
But the thing is, the architect's story is sort of backed up by other people. Like, Merovingian also said, I mean, they're mentioned definitely a bad guy.
Merovingian's a douchebag.
He is a douchebag, but he specifically says to Neo, I've survived your past incarnations and I will survive you. He's got no reason to lie about
incarnations.
He's got no reason to lie about that. Just the past.
I don't think Holly's arguing the idea that there's different past iterations. I think she's arguing that she doesn't believe there's a matrix within a matrix.
I'm not closed off to the idea. I think if that's where Revelations leads us, then cool. However, if that's where they wanted us to end up, they did not do a very good job painting the picture. Job. No, because
it's called foreshadowing.
Trust me.
There's foreshadowing at the very beginning of the movie. Like what did I say was step one? I can't remember at the very beginning, because there's so many different little things that point to it. Like, I think the first one was Bane.
Smith
into the quote-unquote real world.
So I'm gonna edit all of the Magicians episodes that Kaylee and I have watched together, and you're gonna be so fucking irritated by all the times that I figure out what is gonna happen two episodes before it fucking happens, because that's just how I am. I'm very attentive, and that's not something that they laid out for us to figure out. If they decided to take something super vague and play off of that, but highlight other things, and then the outcome is a callback to that tiny little vague thing, then that's their decision as artists, and that's okay. But they didn't paint a picture to lead us there.
I'm just saying.
I have not picked up this yet, and that's not something that I would not see. If it's something I didn't see, I'm baffled, and Kaylee's going to laugh in my face if this happens, and let her, because rightfully so. But, yeah.
First of all, I mean, Dave, you know, what have you watched this, like, you know, 16 times?
I watched it so many times, the movie
yeah,
theater.
So he's dissected this more than once.
So many times. I watched it at least 4 times in the movie theater. Because I wanted to see what the Merovingian was saying, and I wanted to see what the architect was saying. I saw this movie so many times. This is your first watching of it, Holly. So, I mean, I'm not trying to belittle that, but I'm just saying I have poured, like I said, the first Matrix was my jam. I've spent so much time looking at this movie and analyzing this movie. And like I said, Aaron's explanation of what Neo is interesting, and I've never heard that argument before. And that sort of makes me question the Matrix of the Matrix, but there's so many other little things that I've mentioned and there's stuff in the third movie that indicates it too. Mm-hmm. Which I won't say because it hasn't happened yet. We haven't seen the third movie, but It's there for me, and the third movie is very disappointing. I will leave it at that.
Well, the only other thing I wanted to say, well, there are kind of two things, but one that's actually important. So as far as the question about Smith and his ability to inhabit what's his name's body, I think it's important to remember and to acknowledge the amount of makeup and time it takes for all the actors to have those plugs put on them whenever those are exposed. And I think that tech still resides in their bodies. And so that is he's completely capable of going back into that body, especially since the entry point into their skull is so deep that Smith could absolutely plant himself right inside of an actual human body with all that tech in them. So I think that's Smith.
That's not, I wouldn't say that's the glaring thing right there, but it's a possibility. It gives you the inkling of maybe a Matrix within Matrix, but
I don't see the Matrix between them in the Matrix. I just mean that Smith, I think he was able to escape the Matrix because of how much tech is actually in the human body in this new world. He could have implanted himself there, no problem, and been able to live out his life there fine. So that's all I'm saying. You know, because one of you, I think it was David, said that it's unbelievable that Smith could reside there in his body, but I feel differently.
But back to the Occam's razor argument, where the simplest explanation is usually the more probable explanation. So what's simpler?
Hold on. The what? Is that something in this film?
No.
If it's not in this film, I don't know.
Occam's razor is just a principle that states the simpler explanation is usually probably the more right explanation.
But you could see something as a simpler explanation. I could see something as a simpler explanation.
But let me explain where I'm trying to apply Occam's razor. I'm trying to apply Occam's razor to the point of Zion itself. What's easier for a computer to do? Just reset the program, or you reset the quote unquote, if Zion's another Matrix, if the real world that everyone's experienced is another Matrix, what's easier to do? If rebuild it physically.
Hold on. Back up and start over, because you started with, okay, go back to Zion, and then you said, if Zion's another Matrix.
So my assertion is that everything we've seen in the quote unquote real world is another Matrix. So that would include Zion.
Yeah, everything outside that we
everything see, outside the quote unquote Matrix is another Matrix. That's what I'm saying. In the instance of Zion, if it's been destroyed 5 other times previously, what's simpler? Hitting a reset button on a video game that resets the world back to how it was, and then the game starts over again? Because the Matrix is talking about control, and control in video games is a very normal thing. Or physically rebuilding a real place in a real world so that it can just be destroyed all over again. Occam's Razor would say the simplest explanation is just hitting a reset button and it resets back to how it was.
Right.
Because that just makes, and everything's about computers and video games. It's very video game fantasy-esque world the Matrix is setting up.
So right, the and real, I agree with that.
And then also the fact that everything's about control. What, and then the architect's all about control. He knows Zion exists. So, I mean, the fact that the world isn't perfect enough and a few people will reject the reality of the Matrix and they want to see this horrible, gritty world. So they invented a Matrix in a Matrix so that this real gritty world they think is real. They think everything is so fucked up. It's just another method of control. Everything about this movie has been talking about control. So the real world being so fucked up and being scared that you're going to die is just another method of control. And it just seems like it's got to be.
But I mean, also on the same in the same hand with Zion and being afraid that and living in fear that you're going to die and that this world sucks, Zion is not about being afraid.
No, but I'm just saying it's a byproduct. It's not. I mean, what we saw. I mean, they say they're going to die, so they're going to have this like this giant celebration of life, sex orgy thing. Like it's just because they think the world, the real world, is so shitty. They think they're in the real world, but it's just another method of control because they've rejected the fantasy of the Matrix. And so, if they're presented with a real world that's shitty, they believe it's real because it's not the Matrix anymore. When it's just probably another method of control, because Occam's Razor would state that resetting a video game is a much easier explanation than rebuilding a quote-unquote real place.
If it turns out there's another Matrix within the Matrix and that's the purpose, I didn't see that coming. If that's the case, I don't know where to, I don't know what to say.
I think more and more when you watch it, and even when you get into Revolutions,
there's even stronger cases than Revolutions you become
disillusioned by the first movie, because the first movie is very inspiring, and you're like, yes, you know, you're breaking free from your bonds, and then you find out maybe, you know, all the stuff that we've been told, you know, the idea of a prophecy of the one of Neo coming is just a system of control. And maybe, possibly, you know, it's never proven, but maybe there is a Matrix within Matrix, and that's just another system of control.
The movie's all about control. So, I mean, it makes so much sense.
We don't really know, obviously. I mean, it doesn't come out and spell it. So this is all theory. So, and like, you know, yeah, there are other things that we can get into it.
Holly, you wouldn't believe how much I obsessed about this. This was like,
oh no, get it. Like, this is a fascinating world that the Wachowskis built, and I get it. Like, definitely obsess worthy.
If you get a chance,
definitely obsess worthy.
If you get a chance, rewatch The Matrix 2 before you watch The Matrix 3.
I should have a chance to read. Actually, I have the next 2 days off, so.
Like, since you've had this conversation with us, rewatch the second one before you watch the third one, and then we can talk about it next week, because I think that's going to be really exciting. Because, I mean, I've mulled over this so many times. I think you'll have to
see. Because next Sunday, I actually have plans to go see Aladdin. I'm excited. I'll try to rewatch it. I actually started The Matrix Reloaded today, because I tried watching it last night and I was so tired I had to stop it when the Chancellor was like, have you seen the mechanics room? I'm like, I gotta fucking go to bed. I can't go see the mechanics room, buddy.
All
my
sorry.
Toys
are down here. It's
sorry.
Great.
I'm not ready to go for a walk with you. I gotta go back to bed.
I mean, you don't have to. I'm just saying if you get
I will. You think it will benefit me, I absolutely will.
I mean, I thought seeing that two or three times in the movie theater benefited me, because I needed to get the architect's speech banged into my head.
You could just fast forward to each scene where they're talking. A lot of the fight scenes you don't really have to.
Watch the Oracle talk, watch the Merovingian talk, and watch the architect talk.
I can put the Matrix Reloaded is rated R, but I can put it on at work and pause it when people come in. Speaking of rated R, Aaron, you were not on the line when I was talking to David about this, but I read on Wikipedia that Matrix Reloaded held title for, it was the reigning rated R, the reigning box office rated R film for a decade until Deadpool came out.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Good for Deadpool.
Good for Deadpool. Deadpool was fucking amazing.
Yeah, they're all pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought that was cool. That was the only, that was a fun little fact that I had read that I wanted to mention. But yeah, if you think it'll benefit me, I'll do that.
I think so. Just rewatch the plot points. There's only about like 15 minutes of plot in the movie because they're all contained in these small little conversations. But yeah, watch those again. At some point, if you can, don't have to rewatch the entire movie because I mean, like, yeah, there's no point. I had to as a moviegoer because it wasn't out on DVD and I couldn't just rewatch the scenes. I needed to absorb it, so I saw the movie many times. But yeah, like these movies were my jam. So excited, and I like talking about it. I'm trying my best not to get into the third one because this movie's got some great moments in it, and it still holds up pretty decently.
Right.
But I don't think I can talk any more about this movie without getting into the third one. So you guys got anything else?
No. I think we've said everything we can say about this one.
Lack of getting into spoilers. So,
I started watching more of the special effects, and I had to stop it because I felt like they were getting into the third film. Because when they filmed Reloaded and Revelations. Okay. Revolutions. When they filmed them all at the same time. Yeah. So the behind the scenes stuff spans both films. Yeah. So I had to actually stop watching because I was like, oh, I haven't seen that scene. So I had to turn it off. But I think it's fascinating how this film happened. A lot of the actors are super proud of these films. And I know
David. I'm sure a lot of work went into them as actors.
Oh, definitely. And I know you're kind of dreading talking about the third because you didn't care for it. But I don't know.
It pulls down all my hopes and dreams.
I know I haven't.
Or does acknowledge them.
I'm really disappointed in myself as a sci-fi fan for not seeing these last two films. I don't know how that happened. I was
magic.
A poser, I guess.
The Magicians jinxed you. That's how it happened.
Well, The Magicians came out in, like, 2016.
They retroactively jinxed you.
It was, they, you know, in my mind. But anyway, I don't know. I'm excited to watch the final film. And now I do want to see the Animatrix. But I'm not going to invest in the video game, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't think the video game's out anymore.
Probably doesn't even exist, but
you can probably find it used online on eBay or something.
Yeah,
you'd also have to get like a PS2
for a ton of money.
And then you'd have to spend all the time trying to get
through. Yeah, it's just not worth it. I would watch the Animatrix.
It wasn't worth it when it came out, Holly, so I wouldn't recommend it.
I get that. But you know me, I love the behind the scenes. I love the motion capture. I love the voiceover. So that stuff really excites me. And
you can probably go online and watch the scenes from the video game. You can probably watch someone do a Let's Play.
That's true.
Watch the whole video game, probably.
And that's all I would need.
Yeah, that's all you would
need. Because I don't need to do it myself.
Yeah, you don't need to. It wasn't that good. So, yeah, just watch someone else. I'm sure it's out there. It's got to be.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely.
All
something
right.
Like The Matrix?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure. There's lots of stuff online for The Matrix, I'm sure.
So sorry for you listeners who have been here for 2 hours and you're like, are you going to be fucking done about The Matrix or not?
Our pacing.
No,
our pacing,
you got a whole nother week.
Another
of the
week.
A whole nother week of The Matrix. And
suck
more Matrix than a Matrix conversation because there's more info about it next week. I can't wait. I didn't think we'd be able to talk about it because I couldn't remember when it started to rear its head. And it was definitely this film where it started to rear its head. So that's exciting for me.
Yeah.
I love to talk about that. And that's why I couldn't talk much about it. That's why I didn't have a whole lot to say in the first movie, because the first movie, there isn't as much to speculate on. The second movie opened up a giant can of worms, and then the third movie stepped all over them.
I did like the Sentinels.
Worms.
Like, the way that they constructed, computer generated the actual robots. Like, I know a lot of that was actually, like, physical robots, but I thought they did really well with that. That was cool.
Yeah, they look good. Yeah. But usually awesome. CG on things that aren't human look better than CGs on things that are human.
The ghosts, they did really well with the ghost twins.
Yeah, they were cool.
They did good. We didn't really talk much about them, but
they were just there for action fodder. They didn't say anything.
Kind of a one-trick pony kind of thing.
Yeah. They couldn't do much. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, let's say goodbye. Goodbye, guys.
See ya. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. Our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find it at warp11.com. Our intro is by Dave Wilkes. The show you can find online at synthaholics.com. You can join the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/synthaholics. You can email us your burning ideas and theories about the Matrix at synthaholics@yahoo.com. On Twitter.
Or Facebook.
Yeah.
Or Facebook. Go to Facebook group.
Yeah, Facebook group. Get on Reddit. You can also tweet at us at David_J_Duncan. Holly's at Lunar Thistle. Aaron's at Blackbird2004. And the show is at Synthaholic Duo.
And please go to Apple iTunes, rate and view us there. Say nice things about us so other people can find us. Also, if you can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/Synthaholics. Throw us a little cash our way. Helps us keep on bringing shows to you. And as always, if you know that there's a Matrix within the Matrix, if you know that this is a lie, please tell a friend, tell your relative, tell your roommate, tell your classmate.
To reach out to us.
Reach out to us. If you have evidence. We need the evidence.
If you have tangible evidence that we are actually within a Matrix within a Matrix right now, at this very second, let us know.
You there in your tin hat, give us a call. Yes.
Is there anybody out there? All right.
All right. Well, that was The Matrix Reloaded. This is dishwashing soap, spork, and dishwasher out. We're jacking out and off all over The Matrix. Face, neck, and chest.
I am not jacking off on The Matrix.
Squirt all over it, Tommy. Squirt it.
Give me an exit.
Give me an exit. Let me an exit. Live long and prosper, one and all.
Oh my god.
Matrix within a matrix.
Squirt within a squirt.
As long as you videotape it so we can all watch it.
Okay, good.
Do I get to hug you after?
The next time you tell me to squirt on anybody, I'll punch you in the face.
I didn't tell you to do it on anybody. I said on the exit.
I'm just saying. It's fucking gross.
What?
It's gross, okay? It's gross.
Gross.
Yes.
I'm not slow all
the orgies time. Aren't for everyone, okay? Some orgies people want to go back to their own room and have private coitus, okay?
Or just light some candles and just you know, do it themselves. By themselves.
There you go.
It is okay. To each their own, different folks for different strokes.
Uh-oh. Someone's fire alarm's
house,
going off.
The house is burning
there's
down.
There's a truck backing up in here.
Oh, dog's upset now, too. Jacking out of the Matrix.